pals o' mine. Well, we're off to a new year. Some made resolutions, others did not. I did not. I switch up different things throughout the year. However, because it is a new year, I thought it would be fun to bring you some music. American roots music, which is perfect because the music we love today began there. I bring you Jug Band South Sac Jukes.
My name is Darius Hushman, and I'm 42 years old, and I play blues harmonica.
You've got more than one, I see here.
Yeah, they're all in different keys. So,
how did you accumulate all that?
Well, I just picked them up, bought them. You know, if you want to play the instrument, and you know, every song's in a different key. So, if you want to play to every song, you have to have basically every key.
So, what was your first harmonica?
My first harmonica, I think it was American Ace harmonica. And they only make those in the key of C, and was because it was the cheapest harmonica.
Makes sense.
So that was my first one.
How old were you?
15.
Did you hear somebody playing and you said, I got to do that?
I was really attracted to blues early in life. I heard it in my uncle's car, and you know, it was like this, wow, this really spoke to me because it was music from the heart. And I was going to the blues festivals, and my photography teacher actually saw me with a blues shirt on, and he said he played blues harmonica and that he'd teach me how to play if I got a harmonica. So I got a harmonica, and he gave me a couple of lessons, and I just started from there.
And you can carry it anywhere you go.
Yeah, that's the cool part about it. I always have one in my pocket.
So how do you tune a harmonica?
You don't.
That's the old joke.
Yeah. They're either in tune or they're not. If they're not, you got to get rid of them.
You ever come across one that had a few teeth missing, as it were?
I've broken them off playing them, you know, just bending the reeds. And then you just have to get rid of them.
Probably exchange a lot of stories with other harmonica players, I would imagine. And your travels? No?
There's not too many harmonica players out there unless you go to the spa harmonica, you know, events, conventions, and whatnot. I mean, mostly when people play harmonica, they use it as a backup instrument and play chords with it. They don't actually use it as like a lead instrument. The vast majority of musicians just use it as a chord instrument, kind of a background, like you would think of a, you know, cymbal or something, you know, just something to just kind of...
A filler?
Yeah, a little filler. They don't actually take it seriously or take it as a serious instrument. So there's not really that many people who are fanatical about the instrument. The ones who are, all they want to do is talk about it. But there are very few of them.
What are some of your favorite jamming opportunities
that
have come your way?
Basically, you know, I jam with my son, and I usually don't go to the open mic jams just because they just take so long. You just sit around all day, and then you play like three songs. So that never really appealed to me. So I don't really jam with other musicians. I practice a lot, but I practice on my own. It's just, you know, it's just the time. I mean, if I could be up there playing the whole time, then I would. But if you wait all night for three songs, it just, I don't see the payoff.
My name is Jake Hushman. I'm 20 years old, and the instrument I have here is called a gut bucket or a washtub bass. And what it is a washtub basin attached to a clothesline as a string, and a broomstick as the fretboard. It's kind of like a little bass instrument. You can do rudimentary bass lines on it. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
You've got something underneath that. Is that just to make an angle easier for you?
Yeah, I got a plunger underneath the washtub basin just to give a little elevation so that the sound projects a little bit better.
So have you noticed different sizes of tubs are easier than others? Or the sound quality, I would assume, is different?
This is the only tub I've ever owned and made an instrument out of. It's the first and last. Yeah, I'm assuming different tubs have different sound qualities. This one's pretty good.
It works for you, so you're just sticking with it.
Yeah, it works. It's good enough.
So, what was the impetus for creating this instrument?
I got into old-time music. Can't really afford a stand-up bass or them fancy kind of instruments, so it's just something fun to do and make some noise on.
Well, tell me some about the old records, old songs that piqued your interest.
I'm really into pre-war blues, music from the 20s and 30s, old, you know, jazz, blues and country songs, hillbilly music, just kind of the roots of American music.
What were some of the first records that you owned?
I grew up listening to a lot of Chicago blues, stuff like Muddy Waters and Little Walter, Howlin' Wolf, them kind of folks. I just always dug the older style. I got into a lot of like Sonny Cherry harmonica playing. Just got into old music, just liked the sound.
So how did you come about building this particular instrument? How'd you get the idea?
I saw a few different bands do this kind of stuff with this type of imitation bass type things. One band, Nathan James and Ben Hernandez, played around the Bay Area when I was younger, going to see them in shows and stuff, and I decided I was going to try to give it a try.
Would you say it's a Depression era instrument because people just kind of had to make do with what they had?
Definitely. It definitely comes from that tradition. Poor white and blacks and the Depression and rural South didn't really have access to upright basses, or they were either out of sight of their price range, or they just weren't widely distributed, so you kind of had to make do with what you had around, so that's what they did.
And you've got a washboard over here?
Yeah, I got washboard, like your grandmammy might have washed some clothes on. This one's from the 20s or 30s is when they made these. It's made by National Washboard Company. Yep, it's an authentic washboard. Got some little fun things strapped to it. Got a cymbal, a can for it to bang around on.
So you can add to your orchestra?
Yep, that's right.
My name is Rudy Quino. I'm 72 years old, and I'm the guitarist for Southside Jukes.
So what type of guitar do you have for our listeners who loved guitar music? Or playing guitar.
This is acoustic. This is an acoustic classical guitar right here.
And how did you come about this particular one?
Well, I usually played before I'd play electric guitar. Then when I started playing with a juke, I just wanted to pick up the classical guitar.
And how did that feel, the crossover?
I like the classical guitar. I play a lot better than I do the regular electric guitar.
What do you think that is?
I guess experience. I've been playing for 60 something years, so.
So did you have groups that you played in, or you just?
I played with a lot of groups. I can't recall what the hits. They go so far back, I can't recall.
They all start blurring after a while.
Huh? Yeah. I was 6 years old, and I played the ukulele.
It's a good place to start if you're six. That's a good size.
Yeah, and then at 10, I heard Les Paul and Mary Ford.
And a record?
Records. And then I heard the West Montgomery, and I liked it, so I picked up the guitar, and I stick with it, and I stayed with it ever since. And basically, all mine is by ear, and I learned all my licks by myself.
Nice. What were some of the electric guitars you had?
I have a PV and I have an Ibanez.
There's something about the wooden guitar, huh?
Yeah, you've got a better sound. I like it.
More depth, it's more rich.
Yeah.
Well, what can you play for me first?
We're going to do an old gospel tune. This one's called Bound for Glory. This one goes way back. I'm not exactly sure the origins of this song. It's an old church ballad type deal done by a lot of different people throughout the years. Yeah, we're gonna get this one started for you guys. All ready?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
It is a lot. I'm giving a standing ovation. Nobody can see me, but I'm giving a standing ovation.
Well, thank you, thank you.
I love that you put 500% in it. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about the history of American music.
I think the American music is very unique. We came over as a nation of immigrants, and a whole lot of different types of musical styles and different influences went into creating American music as it is today. And the roots of American music, it's like a case of a bunch of different pieces coming together and creating something bigger than the sum of its parts, which I think is very cool. And
you can hear elements of Americana music in current songs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether they acknowledge it or not, you can hear it every once in a while.
And even all over the world, too, different American music has been a very big influence on pop music from all kinds of different countries throughout the years. It really is the music of the world. It's been a big influence on just about anywhere you go, you can hear the influences of American music and this type of roots music. So I think that's very cool as well.
Now, of course, we discussed, or you mentioned Chicago blues earlier, but of course there is the country music, as you also mentioned, hillbilly,
we
call. So what are some of the ones that you remember listening to way back when?
I like all music.
You're real big on the country music.
Yeah, country. Yeah, I like country. Yeah.
So back when your younger days, in your youth, do you remember what you was playing on the radio? Any particular songs?
Oh yeah, Patsy Cline. Remember?
There you go, Patsy.
Yeah, Patsy Cline, Kitty Wells.
Yeah, Honky Tonk.
Brenda Lee. Yeah.
What records did you have?
Then I didn't have no records.
No, just the radio.
Radio, yeah.
Did you play along with?
Yeah, I played along. Yeah, that's how I learned how to play, by ear, playing with, listening to people play, like Wes Montgomery. That's where I pick up my jazz, by Wes Montgomery, B.B. King. Mm-hmm. That's how I learned how to play jazz.
Did you have any friends that you could hang out with and play with?
Well, then I didn't have, I was usually play by myself. You
know, just alone. Distracted
myself till I met them.
And they said, what the hell?
Yeah.
Lone wolf is fine, but, you know, we're even better in herds and packs.
Right.
Yeah, I was playing in my garage. I lived in Sacramento then. I was playing my guitar, my electric guitar, just jamming around. I had my rhythm box on and everything. And all of a sudden, I see Jake walking down the street right toward my garage. And he had this harmonica. I don't know, they were harmonicas. But he come up and I asked him, you know, play music? He said, yeah, I play harmonica. Then we got, he played it. Ever since then, we've been together. It's been over almost 5 years. How many years now?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years. Yeah. Maybe five, maybe you guys, because
yeah,
well, I came in.
Jake
year
and
later.
I started together. So, yeah. By myself, just playing for about a year, Jake.
Yeah, it's going on 5 years now, huh?
Yeah,
it's been
a year. 5 years. And then Darius came into the picture, how we formed the Southside Jukes.
Trifecta. And what about you, Darius?
You gotta say about American
music. What do I have to say about American music? I would agree with you. Jake's my son, by the way. He's actually the one who got me into the older type of music. I kind of stopped at Chicago blues and didn't really follow it, you know, Robert Johnson, but he went as far back as you can go to where the earliest recordings are, and really trained my ear to listen to it and hear it. You know, I think it's a double-edged sword, American music, like everything. You know, it's world music now. And, I mean, if you even listen to world music, like if you listen to a world music station, that's not world music. That's American music played with American patterns, played on different countries' instruments with maybe an accent here or an accent there. Kind of like country music isn't country music anymore. It's just pop played with a banjo.
With a country twang.
And a country twang, and they might talk about, you know, their trailer home or whatever, but it's not the real deal. And I think American music right now isn't the real deal either. I think we're in a sad state.
Crisis.
Yeah, we're kind of musically impoverished, and I think we may actually be impoverishing the world with it because they're losing their culture too, listening to watered-down versions of what we're doing. But then at the same time, it's a shared language and everybody's getting into it and everybody can play the same type of music, so that's a good thing. So that's the double-edged sword that's going on. It's getting watered down. We're losing regional styles. There are no regional styles. People don't play regional music anymore. They kind of do an amalgamation of everything, and it's usually the lowest common denominator that comes out on top. That's unfortunate, but again, it's a shared culture and everybody can do it, and there's an open tent umbrella, big tent umbrella, so that's the good part of it. I guess you got to take the good with the bad. For me, discovering through my son the old music, there's an authenticity to it that you just don't find in today's music. Take the jazz greats, you know. They'll pose for pictures, you know, for their album as if they're thinking these great thoughts. Well, it becomes contrived music once you're thinking great thoughts. And it's like, how do I go out there and do something new rather than how do I sound good? And that's at the highest level. I mean, I'm talking about the geniuses. I'm talking about Coltrane. I'm talking about Miles Davis. They're doing this. And if they're doing this, can you imagine? Because most people aren't that. They can't pull it off, you know, like they can. And then you've got the music industry, which is, you know, image over substance. It's about how you look on, you know, TV. How's your video? You know, how hot are you?
And you have very brief time to become hot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They don't give you much time.
No, no, well, you don't stay hot very long either. You know, well, plastic surgery might help, but implants now.
Kenny Rogers, that didn't work out too
well. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a sad state that we're in, but at the same time, we have more access to seeing it and viewing it and the real stuff we can get on YouTube. And learn how to play the genuine old styles where we didn't have access to that before. Got your good and you've got your bad.
Well, that's why I love what you're doing, because you are bringing it back to a basic common denominator. I love that you have these basic instruments. There's nothing fancy. There's no electric. There's no soundboard operator bringing you sounds that don't exist that you didn't even have with you to begin with. What would you suggest to people that would like to start from the beginning, literally from the beginning?
From the beginning?
I would say you'd first have to have a love of music, right?
Have patience is one thing.
Oh, the P word.
You know, just YouTube's been my best friend in terms of my musical journey. I wouldn't be able to be playing in the style that I do if it wasn't for YouTube, because you just don't hear this type of music every day, you know. It's not something that's omnipresent. So you really kind of have to search it out. So the net's your best friend.
And as far as sounds, we've got, you know, Bob Dylan, of course, and you know, Woody Guthrie, mm-hmm. who predated him, the folk
revival, right? Those guys brought back the sounds of older guys that
the Ozarks
and different country blues guys, old folk songs that hadn't been getting as much attention,
and even the Carter family.
Carter family
was a pretty limited
Carter family,
you know, limited exposure until a couple of people covered some of their songs, and of course,
right. They had good stuff, and unfortunately, most of them didn't have the opportunity to enjoy some of the success that other artists had later with their songs. Yeah, there's some good stuff in there if you want to start getting into the roots of American music.
There's a lot of kids that are always looking for instruments besides the pots and the pans. The parents would like them to leave the kitchen.
I got some pots and pans. I bang around on some.
I'm thinking this would be a blast for kids
to
get them at a young age.
Right,
so that you can make music out of anything.
Yeah.
You know, that you can express yourself
on
those days when you just want to scream and hit somebody. Like a lot of musicians know. You just grab the guitar, whatever's handy, and just go out and just bang the hell out of whatever you have.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of folks did back in the day.
Well, they do it now.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There's a reason heavy metal exists.
Yeah, right. No. But people didn't have, before many folks in rural areas had radios or, you know, record players. So the stuff that they listened to was regional type music. You know, the guitar player down the street, the banjo player down the street, the fiddle player down the street. They get together and make music. That's what they had exposure to. They made music on whatever they had handy.
And they were storytellers.
Right. Kids coming up, maybe their dad played in different hillbilly bands. And they'd make banjos out of pie tins, or make diddly bows, you know, make washtub bass, scratch on a washboard, you know. That's what they did for entertainment then. They didn't have your iPhones or, you know, access to the net for music.
You have to become MacGyver only with music.
They had to entertain themselves with the mouth harp, mouth organ, the harmonica here.
Kazoo?
That was your best friend, the music box, an old guitar.
And how about traveling? You ever hear or read any stories about the old wandering minstrels?
Yeah. That's where a lot of these old songs come from, is from minstrel show traditions, medicine shows. They'd go around country, rural areas, peddling different snake oils or remedies for different illnesses. A lot of bunk medicine, but a lot of good music came out of it, too. They'd hire musicians to come draw crowds and stuff. It was one of the first traditions of American music was came from the songster minstrel show tradition.
Well, which songs or artists would you suggest somebody who's just looking to get into this? Artists that you know are really promoting this type of music that you would recommend?
Contemporary people?
Mm-hmm.
And some newer guys are like Corey Harris, does a lot of roots music. He's a guitar player. Frank Fairfield is a banjo player. He does a lot of songster type tradition.
I would say that to me, and he introduced me to this, that the real authentic music is coming out of the homeless busking groups. Yes, Ma'am. What's the other one? What are some of those?
Hokum High Rollers.
Hokum High Rollers. These are just homeless travelers who are basically playing authentic music, you know, for pennies. literally for alcohol, you know, and weed is what they're playing yep. for. Yeah, and they travel the rails. And they're probably, right now in American culture, they're probably the most authentic people out there right now, in my opinion. There's a lot more technically better players than them. But these guys are genuine. They're not contrived. They're just trying to sound good. And most people aren't. They're either trying to sound original or they're trying to sell something. You know, they're trying to go out there and say, well, how do I sell this? Or how do I sound original? Or how do I get my name out there? Or how do I get on the charts? And these guys are just, you know, they're just trying to get a bottle of hooch.
Aren't we all?
I would think that those are the contemporary artists to see. Nathan James and Ben Hernandez, you can YouTube them. They kind of broke up, but they're wonderful. Don Flemings, definitely Don Flemings. Carolina Chocolate Drops. Guys like that, they're laying down, you know, some authentic music. They're few and far between. Well, they were few and far between in the old days, you know? Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of guys doing real authentic roots music. There's, you know, there's a lot of folk music, and it's pretty cool. Stuff that's derived from older sounds and older styles. But there's not a whole lot of throwbacks, most likely because music isn't very commercially viable. But it never really was.
Well, this is marginal music.
Yeah, it's always been marginal music.
When it was at
music.
Its peak. Mm-hmm. So this was you know, you had your Glenn Miller band, and you had your Benny Goodman.
Glenn Miller?
Big band.
Dorsey Brothers.
And they were the ones that were big. And then on the street, in the corner somewhere,
you had the
Memphis Jug Band. And the Mississippi Sheiks, and you know, you had these guys, they were way marginalized. So to be playing marginalized music that was marginalized in that era, in this era, you're even more marginalized.
It's marginalized music, but it's also been very influential to American music as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
This music was never really commercially popular. It was a niche market even when it was contemporary music. This music was mainly targeted at poor blacks, the race market in the rural South, and poor whites. Most of it was recorded actually by furniture stores who sold the record players to different households. And when they sold the record players, the Victrolas and stuff, they also give people who bought it records of the newest artists that they were recording. So when you bought the record player, you'd also get the fresh releases of whatever race records were the companies had recorded. So that's where a lot of this music was recorded. And if it wasn't for that, a lot of it would have been lost time.
What's nice, that movie, Oh Brother, You Know, Where Art Thou, when that came out.
Yeah.
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That educated a whole new generation about certain types of music existence.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Constant Sorrow? I like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking about. So what are you going to play us out with?
We're going to do an old number here. This one's about the red light district in Texas during the 30s. I guess it was a pretty rough place back in them days. It was a place for prostitution and gambling and all types of other actions of ill repute. But this one's an old number called Deep Elm Blues. Thank you.
Something different. Learn an ancient game like Mancala.